Oh, buenos días. That means good morning. once again, it's a great privilege to be here and to be able to preach the Word of God. I don't take this for granted. You know, I know the responsibility that I have as a preacher. I know that it's a lot of responsibility that the preacher has when he stands behind the pulpit. And my prayer is that you will receive this word and that you will embrace it. So that is my prayer this morning. The scripture for this morning for our sermon is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. The title for our sermon this morning is Serving Christ Together. Serving Christ Together. Let us stand, please, if you are able, and read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, so we can honor the Word of God. I read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, asking for your blessing, Lord. A special blessing to these people that you have gathered with a purpose on this day. We recognize your sovereignty. You are the sovereign God. You are the Almighty God. You are the one who saves sinners through the work of Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we ask, Father, that on this morning, you will honor Christ by revealing to your people the truth in this text, that we can be encouraged, O Lord, to serve you, to keep pressing forward in our faith. Father God, I ask that you will bless us today and that you will help the preacher who is in many ways weak. I need you, O Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. Speak clearly to these people that you have gathered in this place. Work in our hearts, O Lord. We want to honor you. We want to exalt your name and your name alone. You are our King and our God. We thank you, O Lord, for your precious word. We don't take it for granted, O Lord. Father God, I ask all these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. Well, currently in the Spanish church, we are studying the letters to the Ephesians, and we have been so blessed reading carefully, verse by verse, and to be able to see the wonderful work of salvation of our triune God, saving sinners like us. The letter to the Ephesians gives a wonderful exaltation to our triune God, especially in the first three chapters. It gives glory to the Father. It gives glory to the Son. And it gives glory to the Holy Spirit for the magnificent work of salvation, not only to Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And Paul emphasized how in Christ, we have become one. We are no longer two or three or four different group of people with different saviors, but we have become one nation under God, and we serve the same King and Savior, Jesus Christ. One Lord, one Savior, one faith, said the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what is your background. It doesn't matter what color skin you got. It doesn't matter the place you were born. If you have Christ, you are my brother. You are my sister. And we are God's children. And we proclaim the same gospel. We proclaim the same Savior. We exalt the same King, Jesus our Lord. There's no room for hostility. We ought to serve Christ together, advancing His kingdom, proclaiming His name to the nations. We serve Christ together. We fight together. We strive together. When difficulties comes our way, we have each other to get encouraged to one another. When afflictions comes our way, we are not alone. We have Christ, and we have the church. We have a spiritual family that they can pray for us. This is my family. For we belong to the same Heavenly Father. And all this is because of Christ. Now, here in the book of Hebrews, we see that the author has the same purpose in mind when he's writing to his audience. The audience of the author of Hebrews were the Jewish people who became Christians. But these fellow brothers were facing all type of challenges at this time. They were being persecuted by their religious leaders. They were being put up in trials. They were being rejected by their own family members. Some of them were being killed for the sake of Christ. It was a time of confusion for these brothers. It was a time to reconsider if it was worthy to continue at that place, worshiping Jesus with this group of believers. They kept asking themselves, is it worth it? Is it worthy to continue with this group of Christians? Is it worthy to keep fighting the good fight? Is it worthy to keep meeting together in this place with these fellow believers? Is it worthy? It seems like everything is collapsing. Oh Lord, why we are suffering like this? Why we're going through this situation right now? Some are walking away from the faith. Some are being absent from the public worship. They are so discouraged. They don't even want to proclaim Christ anymore. Time of confusion for these Hebrew Christians. And during all this confusion, In all this chaos, God speaks to these people through the author of Hebrews. And the first thing we notice here is that God told his people this: hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering. What does that mean? What it means to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering? It means to stand firm in your faith. It means to keep pressing forward without wavering. Without wavering means without bending. It means to stand firm, to stay strong. It means to resist, to be a pillar. When a storm comes our way and the strong winds keeps hitting the church of God, all the Christians needs to be a pillar in the house of God. A pillar that sustains the house of the Lord. A pillar with a strong foundation, and that foundation is Christ our Lord. We ought to hold fast the confession of our hope in the middle of the storm. When Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15, he tells Timothy, Timothy, I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. We are the church of the living God, and each one of us are pillars and buttress of the truth in this place. We as a Christians need to remember that we are soldiers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I must serve my master alongside with my brother. We resist the storm together. We strive together. We serve Christ together. Therefore, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, brothers and sisters. This is what the author of Hebrews is reminding his audience, and this is what God is reminding this church today. Now, notice carefully that the author of Hebrews is exhorting these believers to be active. Not to stay still and do nothing, but to be active. And he mentions three things. Number one, stir up one another to love. Number two, stir up one another to good works. And number three, stir up one another to meet regularly in the house of God. These three things are an indication of an active believer. We ought to be active in the house of God. The Bible says that we are members of the body of Christ. And as members of the body of Christ, all of us need to be doing a function. You see, our body has different members, and they all are important so the body can function properly. My eye cannot do the same function of my hand. My leg Can I do the same function of my fingers? My brain, can I do the same function of my two arms? But we need all our the parts of our body so our body can function properly. In the same way, all of us can do something in the house of God. All of us can work together to sustain the house of God. We need to be active in the church of God. Active in love. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. If you have loved one another. He didn't say, in this all the people will know that you're my disciple, that you have a lot of knowledge. The best theology. He said, in this way, all the people know that you're my disciple, that you have love for one another. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on his own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. We ought to be active in loving each other in the church, for this is the will of God. Also, we need to be active in good works, helping other believers when they go through trials and tribulations, visiting the sick when they are in bed. Be willing to help when you see the need in the church. The Bible exhorts the believer to be active in good works. You see, good works is an expression of your salvation, an expression that you have been born again. You have a new heart. You see things different now. You want to be involved in the kingdom of God. You want to proclaim your Savior. I remember when I was a new believer, I wanted to do something in the church. I wanted to sweep. I wanted to clean the walls. I wanted to be part of every ministry. I just want to serve. I knew that what I was doing it for my Lord. That's why I encourage, every time I can, I encourage the believers, my brothers and sisters, to be active, working together, serving Christ together, proclaiming Christ together. We are one church. We are family. But also, we need to be active in meeting together regularly in this building. You have no idea how encouraged I am every time I see a Christian in the house of God. When I see a Christian that is faithful in the house of God, faithful in prayer, faithful in Sunday school, faithful in the Lord's Day. I feel so encouraged. Just to be able to see you here, I feel encouraged. You are encouraging my heart by being here. So I want to remind you today, be faithful in the house of God. Let's work together for His kingdom. Let's proclaim together the name of Jesus to the world. Let us stir up one another to love and good works and to meeting together in this place. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some. Now, let me give you two very good reasons of why Christians are to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, and to stir up one another in love and good works, and not neglecting to meet together in this place. Let me give you two good reasons why. The first reason is because Christ is faithful. Christ is faithful. Listen to verse 23 again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. The faithfulness and the promises of Christ need to be present in our mind all the time. Need to be present in us every day to encourage us to do all these things. When discouragement comes to your life and you feel like giving up, it is time to remember the faithfulness of Christ. It is time to remember His promises. It is time for you to encourage yourself with what Christ has promised. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of age." Not for one season only. Not only in the good days. Not only in the bad days. But He said, always. That's a promise of Christ. For you, for me. And we need to be encouraged with this promise. His faithfulness. He's with you. He's with me. He's with His church. We're not alone. What a wonderful promise. I don't know about you, but every time I feel so discouraged, I go back and I read the promises of Christ. And I read this verse and I feel so encouraged. He's with me. He promised to be with us always. And His promises in Him are yes and amen. He's with you in the middle of affliction. He is with you in the middle of suffering, in the middle of doubt, in the middle of tribulation, in the middle of the storm. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will make a way where there is no way. Remember the faithfulness of Christ. Think about the day when His disciples were in the boat with Him. Remember that what happened? That a big storm arose and they were so confused. They thought they were going to die. The big winds, the storm was hitting the boat. It was a time of confusion for them. And they forgot for one moment who was in the boat with them. They forgot for one moment who Jesus was. Who was the one who called them to serve Him? They forgot for one moment. It was a time of confusion. And they cry out to Jesus, saying, Lord, save us, for we will perish. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. Are you crying out to Jesus in the middle of the storm? Are you on your knees praying to Jesus, saying, Jesus, save us? Oh, Jesus, in my time of tribulation, oh, Lord, save us. Are you looking at your storm more than looking at Jesus? We need to focus on our Lord. It is hard. That is why he's remembering, that is why he's reminding us today to remember his promises, to remember his faithfulness. He's with us. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's building his church. This is a promise. This is his promise. And he's faithful to fulfill his promises. Why we need to persevere in our faith? Why we need to keep pressing forward? Why we need to continue serving together this church? Because he is with us, helping us. He's faithful, and he will never abandon his church. Trust his promises. Trust his faithfulness. He will make a way. Now, the second reason why we ought to hold fast our confession of our hope, it is because the return of Jesus. His return. His coming back. His second coming. Let's read verse 25 again. Not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wow. Wow. Oh, what a glorious day when Jesus, our Master, comes back again for his bride. Oh, what a glorious day when Jesus, our King, will finally put an end to all this evil world. What a glorious day when our eyes can finally see our great King and Savior. We eagerly anticipate that day. We long and hope for that day. The Bible says that God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. He will judge the living and the dead. He will put an end to all this evil world. In his coming, he's bringing new heavens, a new earth. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall be there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, no more suffering, no more persecution. Oh, what a glorious day. He will gather all his church before him, and he will reward the saints. Every Christian longs to hear the words from Jesus' lips to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master happiness. Overcomers will eat of the tree of life. Overcomers will be clothed in white garments, and their names will not be removed from the book of life. Overcomers will sit down with Jesus on his throne. Overcomers will become pillars in the temple of the Lord our God. If you have Jesus in your life, this is for you. This is you. If you have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, then rejoice. Rejoice for He who promised is faithful. Rejoice for we are closer more than ever for that day to happen. Oh, what a glorious day for the Christians this will be. We cry out together. The church cry out together saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We need you more than ever, oh Lord. This is a glorious day for Christians. But for the unbeliever, the coming of Jesus will be a terrible day. A day of judgment. A day when they hear from the lips of Jesus these words, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. They will suffer in the lake of fire because of their sin. Sin is a terrible thing. It is a rebellion against our God, against a holy God. That is why we all need Jesus, our only hope, our only mediator between a holy God and a sinner, Christ our Lord, Christ our only Savior. He's calling sinners to repentance. Trust in Him. He promised everlasting life for those who comes to Him. Our only hope is Jesus, the Son of God. Our only hope is Him. Therefore, I want to encourage you that you don't have Christ in your life. Repent of your sin. Trust in Jesus. And He promised to give you everlasting life. And you will be blessed by God. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, like the book of Ephesians says. Now, I want to close this time with the following scriptures. And I want to encourage you to meditate in this. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Let this verse encourage your heart, encourage your life. It says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us serve Christ together with joy. Let us fight for the kingdom of God. Let us keep pressing forward. Let us proclaim His glory. Let us exalt our King. And let us keep the unity in the body of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your precious word. You are so good to us, O God. Thank You for encourage our lives. Thank You for helping us today. We have received Your precious word. Allow us to embrace it in our hearts. Let us not forget what we have received this morning from You, O Lord, our King and our God. We praise You and honor You. There is no one like You. Mighty in power. Holy and just. Thank You, O God, for saving us from our sin and for putting us in Christ, our only hope. To Him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen.